talk about tonight was Jesus poor. How rich was Jesus? Okay? Because we're supposed to be just like Jesus, right? You know, our goal in life, our goal in the Christian faith is to be just like Christ. He's our example, right? Amen. You know, there's some arguments that are made to tell us that Jesus was poor. But that's not true. And we're going to find out that Jesus was not poor and prove it in Scripture. Now, the first thing that you look at, everybody ever heard the term? Now, poor little Jesus, so poor. You know, he was born in a manger because they didn't have enough money to stay at a hotel. Let's go there. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came a wise man from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Here is he that is born king of the Jews, for we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus as it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had probably called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared, and they sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring word again that I might come and worship him also." And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. All right, first of all, we need to ask the first question. How many wise men were they? We're going to find out that we can get religious things all the time. A bunch of wise men. I don't know where we got this three wise men thing. Somebody goes out and records a country song and we change theology. Where did three wise men come? So we get this picture. How many got the first picture? We said, well, of course they brought Jesus gold, frankincense, and myrrh and all that stuff, right? And we see three kings bringing him, or three wise men, bringing him material possessions and material things to bless. Well, first of all, we don't know how many wise men it was. So we know at least there were two of them, and chances weren't it was a whole bunch of them. Get a bigger picture. See how tradition and religion can shut us off from a bunch of stuff? And rob God's best from us, and we can get, you need to get God's picture of what went on, and a biblical picture, and not just go on what people tell you, but go by what the Word says. So how much do you think Jesus collected on that day? How much do you think he collected on that day? Now, first of all, was his daddy working? His daddy had a business, he was a carpenter, right? So most people could have survived just with their father's business. Well, not only did they have the carpenter's business, first of all, not only was the carpenter's business out there, but then you get all these wise men coming, and who knows how many, with an offering. So he started off with some loot that was beyond the average, and it was enough wise men that it brought the attention of the king. It was enough of them, right? So he got a bunch of stuff in that part. Let's also look at another thing. Everybody says, no, he was born in the manger because they had they didn't have enough money to buy a room in a hotel or in an inn. No room in the inn. But where did the wise men find him? We get this picture. Where did the wise men find Jesus? Read that more closely. Where did they find Jesus? Where was he? Where was he? When they brought him those gifts, where was the little baby Jesus? He was born in the manger, but where did they find him? In a what? Let's say it again. What? He wasn't as poor as we thought. We get these pictures all the time. You know, we sing Christmas songs and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. We sing Christmas songs and we'll build theology on songs. But here the wise men come and presented these gifts to Jesus, who was in a house. All right. Again, scholars tell us that Jesus was probably about 2 years old at that time. Okay, this was after he had been born. They had taken him back to his home, and they met him in the house. So we do know that he was born into a family that was home owners. Now, did they have the house before they got the wise men's money? They had the house before the wise men's money. So they had a house. So they were doing okay. Or probably better than okay. So we know they probably had a business and they had a house. And then on top of that, just for Jesus, here they come with all this loot and stuff. Don't you ever say poor little Jesus again. It's nowhere in the Bible. Poor little Jesus. Poor little baby Jesus. He came into this world with a whole lot more than you did. When Jesus was a young child, he was presented with gold, certainly a form of currency. Frankincense and myrrh, this was quite a substantial gift. Jesus began his life with prosperity. I mean, before he was able to get out there and confess stuff, he began his stuff receiving. Why? Because he was born with no sin. He was born righteousness, sinless. He was born good. He was born, that part and that goodness and that gift and that grace that was on him attracted what? Abundance. Let me tell you what. The same laws that we are to live and operate in, it says if you do this, you do that, this will happen to you. Well, Jesus came and did all the things as a man that the Word of God tells us to do. That means he, as a person, would do what? Reap all the benefits and all the rewards for someone that was walking it out. Turn to John chapter 1, 12. How did Jesus get along? First of all, no such thing as poor little Jesus. Don't you ever say that again because you're out of the Bible. It's ignorance. Say, Jesus was not a poor little boy. That 12-year-old little boy that was walking to the temple away from his parents, they said, we can't find a little boy. That was a poor little rich boy. Do you hear me? Where did that stuff go? That 12-year-old little boy, oh, just running. They were not poor people. They were wealthy people. They had gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You're going to find out how wealthy the man actually was. You're going to get so upset with yourself and so angry almost or disappointed that you've been so taught so wrong. And I don't know why they won't tell us the truth. John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, and where a Lazarus was, which had been dead, and who was raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very what? Very what? Very costly. And anointed Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. And the odor filled the room. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not because he cared for the poor, we went through this before, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was part therein. And Jesus Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying she has kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me you will not always have. Now we already said that he already separated himself from the poor just with that statement. He said, poor people you're going to have with you all the time. But look, I'm not always going to be with you all the time. So he already, in this statement, don't you think he would have included himself with the poor? Don't you think he would have included himself with the poor? Now, we need to go deeper. Now, doesn't it sound, now this is not the first time you heard that in the series, right? That Jesus separated himself. But doesn't it sound a little bit clearer to you when you find out why he said he wasn't poor? Because of what he had grown up in. And even if he didn't grow up in that, that's one thing. But this guy had wise men coming from all over bringing gifts and different things. Well, what was the problem with this oil? Why was there such a ruckus about this oil? Y'all, this was some very expensive stuff. Do you know that? Anybody got a problem with people being blessed today? I mean, people freak out when people drive a nice car. People get freaked out if you put a chandelier in the church today, people freak out. You wear a pair of shoes that doesn't got holes in the bottom, people get upset. Listen, this was an expensive ointment. When was the last time you spent a year's wages on perfume? The value of this bottle of perfume would be the equivalent of someone's wages for a year. Okay? A pence was equal to about 17 cents of a day's wage, and that was back in their time, okay? 300 pence was the equivalent of about $51 of our time, okay, today, okay? Or about a year's worth of wages for that culture back then. So this person poured out a year's worth of wages on Jesus' feet. Now that's nice, isn't it, $51 bottle of oil? No, let's put it in our perspective when we look at this, okay? They broke it down for us in this way. I'm going to break it down for you. In the modern equivalents, to be conservative, let's say the average of the American worker earns $5. A minimum wage person owns $5 an hour, correct? And works 40 hours per week. This total would amount to what? $10,400, okay? Before taxes. This bottle of oil today would probably be costly. The value of it would be the equivalent of about $10,000 bottle of oil they put on Jesus' feet. Because $51 of our dollars today would be the value of that back then. And she poured a $10,000 bottle of oil on Jesus' feet. Judas got very upset. Okay? I mean, it just wasn't Estee Lauder or Calvin Klein. We're not even in that league, people. I mean, we just think it just cost a little bit. We could have sold that and just added to the fund. No, this was the value of a year's worth of wages. How much do you make a year? How much do you make a year? First of all, you're going to find out that the woman that broke the bottle of oil wasn't broke. We get this picture of this woman coming in that was just so poor and destitute, and all she had was this oil. How does this woman come up with a bottle of oil of that value? There were a whole lot, not just the poor were not the only people following Jesus around. You hear what I'm saying? They were not the only people pouring him down. This woman had some bucks. And people had problem when Jesus hung out with people that had great wealth. Mary dropped the big one. And we just give 10% of our wages. We're ready to jump up and down. What would you think about a person that owned one bottle of oil or one bottle of perfume that cost a year's worth of salary? I'd say today's average salary in American society is what, $24,000 is the average salary today, about $24,000, a little bit more here in our area, about $24,000. Would you have a problem with somebody had a bottle of perfume valued at $24,000? Then did Jesus rebuke this woman for having a $24,000 or a perfume valued at a year's worth of wages? If he had a problem with prosperity, wouldn't he rebuke her for having this kind of perfume when she could have been doing all kind of stuff? Did they even address? Now see, some people aren't even that great. Did they even rebuke this woman for being that wealthy? They didn't rebuke her for having the wealth. They were just saying, listen, you poured it on his feet. We could have used it for something else. If Jesus was appalled at Mary's wealth, do you think he would have allowed her to anoint his feet with oil? Do you think it was Jesus' heart to have the poor taken care of? Then why didn't he, don't you think he would have been the one motivated enough to say, hey, look, stop it. Give it to the poor. It would look good, wouldn't it? Didn't look too good, but Jesus is supposed to be all compassionate, taking a year's that kind of bottle and pouring it on his feet. He had to walk. He had to look good. This is really helping us. When we put things in perspective and people feel so guilty about taking care of themselves. Listen, you seek first the kingdom of God, and you handle your responsibilities with God. I tell you what, go on out and get the best. Amen. You want to be Christ-like? He didn't have a problem with having it. He was not broke. He was not broke. Now, some people have a problem with the motor transportation people Christians drive in today. Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 7. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, and saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye enter into it, you shall find a colt whereon never a man sat. Loose him and bring him. Now that colt was the equivalent of a nice ride today, I tell you what. Most people were hoofing it. And if you want to break this down in our language today, it would be Jesus said, look, go down there into this town, and you go get me a brand new car that nobody's ever drove before. Not only did he have a colt, but he wanted a colt that nobody rode on. I'm just talking about how Jesus walked. And how he was love manifest. Love can ride on a colt. Okay? And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Ye shall say that the Lord have need of him. Some people say the Lord's not going to supply all your wants. He's going to supply all your needs. Jesus just had to go in the town. He had walked all over the place. So why did he need this colt to go where he had to go? None of your business. That's what he wanted, so that's what he needed. The Bible doesn't say he'll supply all your wants. He said he'll supply all your needs. I need to have the best. Yes. 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 There was no reason for this. We don't understand. He said that, of course it was that the scriptures had to be fulfilled. We're just talking about Jesus. This will go straight to your heart, because you're going to hear ignorant and dumb people talk all the time about stuff. And you get on the radio, you'll hear them talk on the radio, a bunch of foolishness. The Lord said, I have need. Brand new. See, that's up my faith. Go to Judges chapter 10, verse 4. You can find out, if you go there, I'm not going to go there with you, but just go there, you'll find out what kind of people rode around on colts. This was the judges' sons. Wealthy people would ride around on colts. The sign of prestige, prominence, authority, pomp and circumstance. Say, go get me the best and let me ride on it. And we get this picture, little barefoot Jesus, walking through town. Sweaty, stinky, barely enough to get by, broke, been broke all his life, just doing what God told him to do, believing God for everything. Jesus wore the clothing of a prosperous person. How did he say it? So we know, first of all, he had no problem with receiving expensive gifts. He never said, oh, this is too nice for me. He had no problem receiving expensive gifts. I mean, he had no problem with being extravagant and allowing others to be extravagant with their giving. When somebody drops a year's worth of wages of perfume on your feet, wise men brought his parents weren't dumb either. They didn't say, take it back. He's just a baby. He don't need it. They received it for him. Then also we're going to look at this clothing. John chapter 19, verse 23 through 24. Then soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier a part. And also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. John 19:24. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it. Let's not tear up this coat, y'all. Let's not tear up this coat that the man's got. This had to be a bad coat, because the boy wore the coat, through in prison. They had him in jail waiting to go to the thing. It was a dirty coat, so you could tell the value of this. Can you understand what I'm saying? The man had worn Armani to the cross. You think it was because they just wanted to sell it? And I got Jesus' coat over here. I'll take his coat. That's not important, because they had one man that literally got his body. So it wasn't just the fame of his clothing. It was the value of his clothing. Because anybody that wanted to claim his body couldn't have got his body. They could have cut his hair off, his fingers and nail off, and sold that. So it wasn't the fame of his clothing that was important. It was the value of his clothing. They said, let us cast lots for it. whose it shall be. They wanted it. He had something they wanted. And the scripture might be fulfilled. Thus saying, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. I mean, that man was dressed down so much the soldiers was nearly fighting over what he had on. Ooh, poor Jesus. Think, where in the Bible did it say that? Where? 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 Where are you getting this stuff from? Was baby Jesus poor? No. Where are you getting that from? Did it say that Joseph and Mary was poor anywhere in Scripture? No. Say they couldn't, you know, there was no room in the inn. So that's why he was born in the manger. But when the wise women went to meet him, they met him in a house. They didn't meet him in the woods. He wasn't still sitting in the manger 2 years later. They didn't bring the gifts because they knew he was broke. They had never seen him before. You know, you're going to crack up about this, but listen. They not only cast lot for his coats, they cast lot for his vestures. The man's drawers. I mean, they were going after the man's undergarments. Not just his cloak that he wore, the seamless cloak, but they were going after his undergarments. I mean, so the man was, he wasn't rich just on the outside, which you can see. Stuff you couldn't see, he still had that going on too. He liked nice things. Anybody ever heard the opposite? What did they use to preach the opposite with you? Stories that they didn't even back up with Scripture. You better open your book and read it there. Okay. So here we go. He got gifts from the get-go. How did he finance his ministry? Did he finance his ministry? How did Jesus run his ministry? Oh, that was Jesus. We get problems when we see people financing their ministry today. Jesus didn't take offerings. You know, Jesus didn't take offerings. He didn't need to. Here Jesus was still receiving stuff from people after getting all that gold when he was born. He was still receiving from people. Did you know that? He had supporters. Did you know that? The gospel should be free. He didn't go in town. Okay, let's go look at his supporters. Luke chapter 8, verse 1 through 3. Oh, Jesus is coming alive, isn't he? I mean, you know, got Jesus walking around with wings on his back. And little, I mean, just something in the back of your head. You better let him come alive. See him for what he was and who he was. You'd be surprised. You wouldn't even know who Jesus was. Many people got this big picture of Jesus. The closest thing they can think of Jesus when they drive by a bum on the street, a dirty bum on the street with long hair and a long beard. And that's what their image of Jesus was. They wouldn't even imagine what the guy would have on if he would come in this room. If he would come in our culture, you know what I'm saying, in the same social class or social status that he was in back then, you probably wouldn't even know who the man was. Because of religious tradition. And he wasn't German either. Nor was he Scandinavian. I feel sorry for these neo-Nazis talking about Jesus. They're going to be very disappointed when they go to heaven. They're going to lynch him. I'm not saying he's black. I mean, but you better get a clue. Go to Egypt. Go on over there to the Middle East. You getting mad because somebody working in the 7-Eleven. It's the truth. Oh, yes. You don't look like Prince Charles. There's a bunch of people. You clear the church out. You know what's going to happen? The Bible says in the last day there'll be a great falling away. It's going to be revealed that Jesus doesn't look like that guy that everybody sees in the pictures. And people can get mad and walk out of the church. People want to be stuck on their stuff. You need to get rid of your tradition and pick up the Word of God. We believe anything. Them crazy Mormons believe that Jesus... the angels dropped plates out of heaven. Yeah, dropped plates out of heaven, and he came and ministered to the Indians. And the Indians and the American Indians are the true Jews today. Oh, yes. Crazy stuff. Whole group of them. Right here. Some of the people you might know believe that crazy stuff. Did you know that? Look at somebody and say, it's easy to believe crazy stuff.
when you want to. Stuff appeases to your flesh. Do you believe that whole group used to say that black people were the result of angels that made God mad and he burnt them and they got burnt up and that's how they got black? Did you know that? A whole group of them. A whole group of them say it's easy to be ignorant. And most Mormons can read. Where'd they get that from? So if they can believe that, there's one big religious group, very popular one, that believe that Jesus is the devil's brother. Did you know that? Yeah, Jehovah's Witnesses. And the Mormons also, that Jesus is the brother of Satan. Say, it's easy to be ignorant when you want to be. We can all be ignorant if we want to be. We can make up all kinds of stuff, just decide we're going to believe it. And if we think they can miss it that much, who do we think we ought to say that we can't get off with our thinking of who we think, how rich Jesus were? We just decide Jesus is going to be poor, and that's, darn it, that's what's going to be. I'm serious. You just decide stuff. That's the way it's going to be. He's poor, and that's it. Everybody preach it. Anybody preach anything else, that's the truth. That's what's going to, and that's how so much religion and tradition are born. It's birth. One group just said, listen, no more signs and wonders. It all went away. There's no more signs and wonders today. Tongues are of the devil. Any signs and wonders, any tongues, anything, it's all the devil. Why? Because I said so. I don't care what the Bible says. That's period, point blank. It's all gone. I just said so, and we're just going to stand there. Serious. People say all kind of crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. Another one said, there ain't no Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It's all Jesus. Nobody else. Just Jesus. He's the only one up there. Jesus, 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 Jesus. And anybody else don't believe this, don't get baptized in the name, you're going to hell. You're not baptized in this church, you're going to go to hell. There is one group only been around for less than 200 years. Church been around for over 2,000 years. And they say, if you're not baptized in that church, you're going to go to hell. What about all the people that were around before we even heard of that name of that church? Why? Because we said so. Who cares what you say? What does the word say? Right. Who cares what you say? What does the Bible say? Now, you know, it's the same thing in Scripture. The Pharisees and scribes were going around always just coming up with stuff. Ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Is Jesus coming alive? Is he coming alive? Is he coming alive? Wow. In Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, then he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and how many others? How many others? How many others? A few? How many? Many. Which did what? Which ministered unto him with what? How? Of their substance. What substance? Stuff. That's what the Bible says, stuff. So Jesus went around, look, he went around with a whole bunch of people, and one of them worked for Herod. One of them was one of the king's higher-up employees, was one of the people in the group, and many others were going around him that ministered to him of their what? Substance. Now, how are they going to minister with him in substance? I'm going to minister with his substance, but you can't keep it. So he had a whole group of people that would minister to him of his substance. Would he be broke if he had a bunch of people going to minister to him of their substance? If all he was doing was eating a little sandwich here and there and had 12 disciples, why did he need a bunch of them to give him a sandwich? All right, you bring the top of the piece of bread, you bring the bottom piece of bread, and that's 2. And you bring the bologna, that's 3. Who's going to bring the tomatoes? That's 4. You're still not at many. Why do you need many people to take care of one person? And one of them was loaded. At least we don't know about the rest of them. So he had what? Ministry partners. The little prayer partners and different things, but they said he had a group of partners. He had financial back. Jesus had some people backing him. Jesus was not broke. There are more facts stating that the man had some substance than that he didn't have substance. Somebody lied to you. Their substance is referenced to Jesus' ministry support, which included money as well as material things. We know that Jesus never lacked anything. Did you know that? He never was in lack, ever. In addition to the support he received from these women, we know he operated in the realm of the miraculous. Good Lord. Not only did he have a staff of people ministering to his needs materially, you know, just normal people, many people following him around that would minister to him of their substance. If they didn't come through, he moved miraculously to get his stuff done. Poor little Jesus. He wouldn't do that. And you know what? You should rejoice, because he's an example of how you could walk and should walk today. He didn't walk in anything that you couldn't walk in as a believer. Did you know that? You're going to learn that. He came to show us that we could do it through him. See, these same things you see me doing, guess what? You do. But it won't be fair, because you do it with no money. I'll have all the money, but you do it with no money. See, I got miraculous power, but you're not going to have any. But I want you to do the same thing I'm doing. But don't you do better than what I did, but you better do it broke. Are we learning anything tonight? That's not who Jesus displayed himself as to you. That's what you allowed him to be to you. Jesus wasn't lying to you all those years. He would say, I got to go visit this one. Let me go put on my beggar suit. God, I need so much more. And he's saying, I'm over here. I'm the God of more than enough. Was he any less God on the earth than he was in heaven? So if he was more than enough, the great God Almighty in heaven, that he was the God of more than enough on earth. Now, John chapter 12, verse 4 to 6. So everybody say, Jesus had a bunch of people giving him money. They said, him, not his cause, him. Isn't it like the Holy Ghost? Jesus said, I want you to teach people, first of all, tell them. Let me reveal myself to you. I'm not poor. I don't know where y'all got that from. John chapter 12, verses 4 through 6. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was this ointment not sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? He said, not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a what? Why? What was he? Does anybody know where Jesus got Judas from? We know where he got these other disciples, but does anybody know where he got Judas from? Huh? No, is there any scripture reference where Judas came from? Where did he get Judas? He called one of them off the boat. He called this one over here. Then all of a sudden we got Judas. What was Judas? What was Judas? A thief. Maybe he was trying to find somebody to steal from. Because we know he didn't want eternal life, because if he wanted eternal life, he would have followed Jesus. What was he after? And what did he sell Jesus out for? Money. You ever thought about it? You can find out where this one came from, where that one came from. Judas, where did he pop? Where did this thief come from? Aren't we learning something? He was hunting for some money. Yeah, he wasn't concerned about no healing and heaven and all that other stuff. He wouldn't have sold him out. He was in it for the money. There was money. Now, we want you to be blessed, but we're going to teach you how to get blessed. Amen. Because he was a thief. The Bible made it so clear. Say, one of Jesus' disciples was a thief. They didn't like Judas too much, did they? And they always throw it in there, and that old thief. I mean, you ever read about Jesus? They're always talking about him and the thief and the one which would betray him. You know, they always throw a little jab in there after they mention his name. And the one with the devil, yes. And had the bag. Isn't that a trip? The thief is the one that's got the bag. Do you think a thief would be carrying a bag around that had nothing in it? Was Jesus walking around with this big empty bag, the faith bag? One day I'm going to have a bunch of stuff in this. Jesus had a bag of money. Okay, do you see that right there? And he was a thief. Jesus had so much money, he was not afraid to let a thief hold his money and bear what was put therein. So something went in there. So we had this many people, you know, the many that would follow him around and minister to Jesus' need, he put it in a bag. And Judas would steward the stuff that came into the ministry. You can always find Judas in every ministry. They come in all the time. What you doing with the money? John 13, chapter 29. For some of them thought because Judas had the bag, they talk about this bag a lot, don't they? Have you ever heard about the bag? Have any of you ever heard about Jesus' bag? Jesus had a bag. Now here's two different scriptures. They're talking about this what? Bag. See, these disciples knew this because they wrote about it. It had to be a big bag or bag or something if they put it in the book. Because the Bible says so many things that Jesus did that wasn't enough that we could even contain it in one book. So don't you think if this bag didn't have some type of significance, they would have taken it out of the book and put one of those other miracles in that they didn't put in? They were selective in what they chose to stick in the book. A whole lot more went on than what we read about. So if you're hearing about this book, this bag twice, it's significant. Tell somebody, there was a bag. So Jesus had what? A bag of what? Money. Now, I could make it just with a bag. You didn't have to give me gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But Lord, I'd love to walk around with me a nice bag of money. 13:3. And Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand and that he was come from God and went to God. Wow, that's good.
Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest now, not now, but thou shalt know that hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee now not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he...
Who is going to betray him? Everybody say the thief.
The thief.
Say it again.
The thief.
The thief. Go ahead.
Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples took one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop and gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said the thief.
Who did Satan enter into?
The thief.
Who got the devil? The thief. Who did the devil want to hang around? The thief. Jesus just put them together. A couple made for each other. Go ahead.
Then said Jesus unto him, What thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, Buy those things that we have need against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor.
So they knew that when we got to that verse, that we knew that there was something in the bag, right? So that there was enough in the bag that they could get something for that big meal they were eating, plus get something for the poor, right? They knew that the bag had enough to take care of their needs. Do y'all want another nugget? There must have been enough money in Jesus' ministry to require one of his disciples to act as a treasurer. Okay? This responsibility was given to Judas in addition to the need of treasure implies that there must have been something in the bag worth stealing. He didn't have much longer to go. Judas didn't. He checked out before Jesus. Part of the finances of Jesus must have been the substance of the women that had ministered to him. Now I want to teach you something. Judas was given the bag of money. God intended for him to be what? Everybody likes to call Judas a what? A thief. What's a thief? A robber, thief, and a robber are the same thing. Who got the devil put in their heart? Thief and the robber. Okay. Who betrayed Jesus? A thief and the robber. Doesn't the Bible say, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. You can only get around robbing God for so long. Since we talk about thieves and anybody want to throw a stone, come on. Let's talk about these thieves and robbers. You get along with it every so often. There's a whole lot of stories about thieves and robbers. In John chapter 6, according to the verses, what was Judas' responsibility in Jesus' ministry? Steward. That means that God will entrust, God makes everybody a steward. Whether you're honest or crooked, guess what? You still got his stuff. We're learning something here. Whether you're honest, true, or noble, guess what? You still have got something that belongs to God that he says you are steward. Doesn't the Bible call you all stewards? That you are to steward the things of God wisely? You are to steward your life. You are to steward your talents, your ability. You are to steward your relationships. You are to steward your body. You are to steward your finances. You are to steward all things. But everybody wants to call you that other steward, a thief. And what does a thief do? Steal. What does a thief do? Steal. Steal things that don't belong to them. And I tell you what. The tithe does not belong to you. It belongs to God. You might got it in your hand, but it's God's. And you can tell God robbers, they have that same mentality and they have that same spirit. We're talking about money. We're being honest about everything else. We're talking about million, and we're talking about your little 10% now. God said that's his too. That thing that he calls, he says, listen, the first. That first fruits belongs to God. It's no less God's than what was in his bag. He said it was his. You gonna call him a liar? And not just in the Old Testament, it's all throughout Testament. I guess Judas had a problem. He was thinking, you know, he was always questioning what belonged to Jesus anyhow. Jesus didn't deserve those people's money. He didn't deserve that $10,000 bottle of oil that they broke on his feet. It could have been used someplace else. None of his business what it was used for. Who does it belong to? I tell you what, listen, if you got money, it ain't my business what you do with your money if it belongs to you. If you wanted to buy $5,000 worth of lollipops with your money, guess what? That is your business. And whatever God chooses to do with what belongs to him, it's God's business. It's not yours, it's the Lord's. If disciples thought that Jesus had enough money to buy supplies for the feast, there had to be some quiet of money because the feast lasted for 7 days. So if they were thinking he was going to cover the feast and some poor people, the feast lasted for 7 days. And it was all in that little bag. And God wants to do the same thing for you. He wants to do the same thing for you. How many want to be Christ-like? On other occasions, in Mark chapter 6, verses 34 through 44, we see Jesus ministering to 5,000 men plus women and children. In verse 37, as it grew late in the day, he told his disciples to give the multitude something to eat. They replied, "Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread?" This is in Mark chapter 6, verse 34. So there was a group of 5,000 men, not including women and children, impromptu party. And they thought Jesus was thinking, "Well, do you want us to cover it out of the bag? Do you see it in Scripture?" They weren't joking. They weren't being sarcastic. So we know he had at least enough in the bag to cover the party, whether God moved or not. Notice that he had natural substance as well as supernatural substance. Are we seeing this in Scripture? Do you see the same thing? As it grew late in the day, he told his disciples, "Give the multitude something to eat." And the first thing they thought, they replied, "Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" Jesus was responsible to perform a miracle. That means even though you got money, you can still expect a miracle. He could have paid for it out of the purse. He decided to use a miracle instead. Wow. Which we come to know as the miracle of the loaves and fishes. However, there is a more important point here that we want to overlook. A pair of the disciples had some money, 200 penny worth. 1 penny or denarius, as it was known, was worth 15 or 17 cents in that time. So 200 penny worth was the equivalent of $30 to $34, okay? Though this doesn't seem like much in our current today, we see it from what Jesus said at the time in Matthew 20:2, that a day's wages was the equivalent to 1 penny or denarius, okay? So how many pennies or denarius do they think it, how many penny worth did they want to use there? 200 penny worth, okay, and one was 1 day's wages, okay? In other words, in their liquid saving account, the bank was petty cash, okay? The bank was petty cash. That means they didn't have to run back to the house that nobody knew he had and go withdraw on the stuff that the wise men gave him. In petty cash, in the bag. In other words, in their liquid savings account, they had over a half a year's wages on hand. Huh? Do you see the same thing I did? How many of us have 6 months' worth of wages in our wallet tonight? Now, let's say in our culture, and just because we got this nation set up so well, and we're just the most blessed nation in all the world, and things are going so great because the presidents and Republicans, Democrats, they are all getting it together and things are so great. And in today's culture, we get $24,000 a year, some of us. Forget the ones that are starving. Some of us are making more than that, but we get $24,000 a year, which is the average income. How many got $12,000 in your pocket tonight? I mean, got $12,000 worth of debt. I believe in 6 years to pay that off. This man had some money. Poor little Jesus. Have we learned anything tonight? Wouldn't it be funny if Jesus just showed up every now and then and just come look at our checking account? When I was in ministry, I wasn't in this bind. When I walked on there, I wasn't that bind. I could pay my bills. I had a year's worth of wages at my disposal at any time. I could have covered it. I mean, we go out to a meal at Jack in the Box and bite our fingernails. Who's going to pick up the ticket? At Denny's. And here Jesus had 5,000 men plus women and children. You let five people come. And everybody say, what'd you order? What'd you get? Now I'm going to buy this meal. Everybody get water. Jesus was not poor. And his ministry was not broke. He practiced what he preached. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Why do you think thousands and thousands of people are coming out to hear the man teach and preach? He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's for everybody, right? Well, if Jesus practiced that same law, do you think he sought first the kingdom of God his whole life? The only reason why he was there seeking first the kingdom of God. He didn't come down here because he had nothing else to do. He came down to do the Father's will. He came to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And that was his whole lifestyle, his whole you can't look at Jesus' life and debate. Now, Jesus, you were in the flesh over there. Get back on the job, Jesus. You were in the flesh over there. Seek first the kingdom of God. And don't you get distracted about all that money and stuff, Jesus. Don't get distracted. No, he fulfilled the law completely. Amen? So if he did all those promises and fulfilled all those things, he could do the law. And if you can do the law, you get blessed by the law. So he's getting covenant blessings too. You ever thought about that? For whoever sows much will reap much. You reap what you sow. He was working. I wonder what his take back on his return was back on that meal he threw. Back on that party he threw. We're learning, aren't we? Do you think Jesus sought first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? If he did obey this verse, were all things added unto him? Now, Jesse just read a scripture about all things are added unto him. All things were added unto him because he sought first the kingdom of God. The laws of prosperity were in manifestation and in an operation on the life of Jesus. And there is a law of abundance and prosperity. And it was working. When did it come alive? When God spoke it, when he created the earth, it was alive. Prosperity is a law. It's a principle. It's like there's a law of gravity. There's the law of abundance. Sow, reap. It's a spiritual law that has power. It's active. And Jesus came and operated in that law. He worked it. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Given it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. Maybe that's why he had them many people given to his little bag. Somebody that could feed that many people on a whim. And they were just saying, should we just go feed the people? Because it must have been common. We don't know what else he did. There's so many things that the man did. There's not enough books in the world to contain just the miracle parts that he did. Listen, he was a big giver. He was a big player. He's a big hitter. He took care of the whole thing. So, and shall men give unto your bosom, for with the same measure ye meet with all, it shall be measured back to you again. He came from a family of givers. The father gave his son. I mean, come on. And the son came, look, he said, I can give all this money because you don't know this. In a couple of days, I'm going to give my life. I'm playing big boy giving. Watch this. We all in prison fighting over the soup that they're putting under the cage. Jesus said, give me four little sips of that little bowl that you got. What did Jesus tell his followers to do? If they obey this verse, what would result? Was Jesus a giver? Was Jesus a giver? Was he a giver? Was he a giver? And if he obeyed this verse, what do you think men gave into his bosom? I can't wait to meet Jesus. I mean, wouldn't that have been fun? How'd you like to work for Jesus? Imagine those 12 disciples working in Jesus' ministry. Man, that was a job. That's why it was easy for them. He said, now cast down all your nets and follow me. They didn't know who he was. Shoot, he can afford it. Think, he didn't do any great signs and wonders. They learned who he was as they walked with him. As they walked with him, they learned who he was. Another thing, Jesus associated himself with prosperous people. Luke chapter 5, verse 27-32. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the reception of the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made a great feast in his own house, and there was gathered a great company of publicans and others that sat down with them. But the scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answered and said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. All right, so we see it there. How many people attended that meal? How many people? Say, a great company. So you can tell that Levi was what? A prosperous person. Levi must have had quite a large house to accommodate this great feast. He invited a great company of his sinner friends and introduced them to Jesus. But Jesus neither rebuked Levi for his wealth. Did he ever rebuke Levi for his wealth? Did he say that to him? No. Okay? Nor told he him he would have to sell it or give it to the poor. Did he? No. As a fact, we see in verse 30 through 32 that the scribes and Pharisees murmured about Jesus hanging around publicans and sinners while enjoying food and drink in their presence. No doubt this was a reference to the party at Levi's house. What was Jesus' response? Sinners need the gospel. Here's another one. Luke chapter 19, verse 1. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. And he was what? He was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was a little stature. And he ran before and climbed into the sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house. Everybody heard the story? Zacchaeus was little old Zacchaeus. Everybody was singing a song about little Zacchaeus, because that's what we focus on, little Zacchaeus. Little Zacchaeus up in the tree. Why don't we say, rich old Zacchaeus in the tree? We don't want to see certain things. And when they had saw it, they murmured, saying against the guests and sinners. All of a sudden, Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I will restore four times, fourfold. Isn't that good? Now, the last and final scripture, I said, there is a place in the Bible where people get a bunch of stuff. They say Jesus was poor. But we have to build this case to see the facts. Would you call anybody that had that kind of money in their bag poor? Okay? Anybody was walking around with 6 months' worth of wages in their petty cash bag, was that a poor person? Anybody that was 2 years old and many wise men, not just three of them, but a bunch of them come to you bearing gold and frankincense and myrrh. They come to you and dump this stuff on you as a child. You got all that time to invest it. And your dad had a business before they even got there. They were homeowners. Would you consider that person to be one of the poor and begging people? The Bible says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. So we know that at least he wasn't a beggar. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. You need to have this. For he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see that there? He made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Does it say that? Did it say that? Has anybody heard the scripture in the Bible that talks about, for he became poor that we might be rich? Have you ever read that scripture in the Bible about Jesus? He became poor that we might be rich. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, and Jesus became poor that we all might be rich. Have you read? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. See what it says there.
For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich.
Mm. So he was what? And became what? He was what? And became what? Okay. Jesus was born a sinner, was he? But wasn't there another scripture in the Bible? Remember that scripture that we read earlier? Matthew? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 21. Go there. We're going to pick something up because there are a lot of people that use that argument. They say Jesus was poor. You say, if you use this scripture to say Jesus was poor, we're going to use this scripture to say he was a sinner. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. What does it read, Jesse?
For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Same thing, right? One is in reference to sin, and the other is in reference to riches. When did he make him to be sin for us? When did he make him to be sin for us? When? On the cross. On the cross. This scripture right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Jesus was a substitute in the area of poverty and lack for us, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For ye know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich on the earth, not just in heaven, then you can look at this several ways. That it could mean that even though he was super duper wealthy in heaven, listen, what Jesus wanted, that bag that he had here on earth, was nothing in comparison to what he had in heaven. Okay? Now you might call, listen, as far as God's concerned, that little bag that he had, you know, compared to all the world and all the earthly things, he just had that bag here. To us, that's wealthy. Does not mean that he was a pauper or that he was in poverty at all. And we cannot use his scripture to say that. That ye through his poverty might be made, might be rich. When was he ever in poverty? We got a party of five. We're going to have a party. 5,000 men going to eat. I want you to go over there and find me some starving. Go to one of these countries where they don't got no money. They can barely afford to feed their own children. Go get me a poverty person and make them pay for that meal. Go to the third world and find and go grab up one of those people that are in poverty. And tell them to pay for a meal that's going to feed 5,000 men plus women and children. When was he in poverty? Became our substitute on the cross, where he took our poverty on our behalf so that we could be prosperous. Salvation. You need to study the word salvation. Do you know Jesus' name is Yeshua? And Yeshua means Joshua. And Joshua means our Savior, our Deliverer. And the word salvation means that we are a full gospel church. We believe that the gospel is full. It covers health, healing, prosperity, peace in our mind, salvation and deliverance from our sin. Total salvation. Became our substitute on the cross, where he took our poverty on the path so that we could become prosperous. Because Jesus' substitutionary work, God sees us as prosperous right now. Jesus took all the sins on the world when he hung on the cross for us and settled it right then and there. Before Jesus came to earth, how is he described? Very what? Ruler, reigning, owns everything. Compared to his heavenly life, how is his earthly life described? To us, it's loaded down. To me, that's got a lot of money. But that ain't nothing, really.
That could be described as poor when in comparison to what he had in heaven, okay? This is another way that you can look at that, when you can look into Scripture, because the Scripture does not mean that Jesus was walking when he was ministering those 3 years, or that when he was born as a child, you know, that his earthly life, that he walked around like a poverty-stricken person. That's a lie. It's not true. And that's not what the Scripture means, okay? In a sense, Jesus' earthly life was poor when compared to what he was accustomed to in heaven. However, as we have seen, his earthly life was not a life of poverty. On the cross, Jesus became poor that we might be rich. He took upon himself our sin, our sickness, our poverty, so that we might be redeemed from eternal death and separation from God and sickness and disease and poverty. Through Christ's poverty, what do we have? That's what he said. He became poor that we might be what? He took our sins so that we could have his justification. You're going to prosper. Listen, you don't deserve to be saved. You don't deserve to have your sins washed away. But Jesus came and took your sin for you. Now you can get to heaven because you're washed whiter than snow because of what Jesus did. And here you got a scripture in the Bible saying he became poor, stooped down in all that he had, so that you could get a piece of prosperity. It's deeper than that. And you're even going to find it in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. The word peace is not the Hebrew, is not a Hebrew word. The word is shalom. What does shalom mean, my friends? Nothing broken, nothing missing. Abundance, prosperity. So as we say, by his stripes I am healed. Well, how many claim by his stripes I am healed? Well, we need to be claiming the chastisement of our prosperity was upon him. It's covered. The Hebrew word translated peace in this verse is translated prosperity. The same word in this verse that they say is peace, and it is a peace. But in other passages of Scripture, the same Hebrew word is translated as prosperity. Okay, other places in the Bible. We could read this phrase as the chastisement of our prosperity was upon him. So actually, this makes redemptive sense. That means that you can stand on it as you stand that you are saved from your sin. You can stand on it because of what Jesus did on the cross. The chastisement of your prosperity is already taken care of. He nailed it on the cross. But we want to elevate different things. I want to look at everything he did. He turned the whole thing around. Listen. Poverty and lack and sickness and disease are all the works of the devil. Jesus came and hung on the cross and set us free from all of that mess. He broke it. He took care of it. And you're not going to prosper until you realize what Jesus has already done and you start to spiritually prosper. You start to walk it out and say, hey, look, I got a spiritual right. No devil in hell is going to stop me from becoming all that I can become in God. No devil in hell is going to keep me from my abundance because of what Jesus said. I can be fruitful and multiply because of what Jesus did on the cross. Before the devil had a right not to see that thing come alive in your life. There was a curse over you before then, but now you're no longer cursed. He has taken the curse and broken it and given you a blessing. I'm blessed. See, before you were cursed under Adam, and because of what the devil did, you were cursed with failure. But Jesus came and you've accepted him. You have been blessed with prosperity. Amen. You have been blessed with salvation. You already got it. You have been blessed with healing. You just got to grab a hold of it and put your faith on it and start to walk in it and see it start to manifest in your life. Say, I've already got it. You got to get what you need. The people that are not sick don't need a physician. And those that are sick need a physician. Those that are broke need a financier. And the problem with the Pharisees, they didn't realize that they were truly sick themselves and they needed a physician.
You know, one of the names of God is the great I am. I am that I am. He's got it covered. And all you got to do is I receive what I receive. Say, I'm blessed. And it's right. Say, God is behind it. When Jesus hung on the cross, he had my sin, setting me free from that. But he also had my abundance, a new life, and prosperous life in his mind and on his heart when he did that. And I'm going to receive it in Jesus' name.
Jesus, we bless your holy name. Bless you, Jesus.
You've been listening to Pastor Rod Counselor. It is our prayer that this message has been a blessing to you. You can receive other inspirational teachings from Pastor Rod by contacting Rod Counselor Ministries at 1-800-298-4333. You can also join us at Nations Church in the Woodlands, Texas.